Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, tomorrow here in America, we celebrate Memorial Day. And just kind of a little history of Memorial Day, just very briefly here. It's a federal holiday in the United States for remembering the people who died in serving the country's armed forces. Now, I know that out there are some people think that it's the big barbecue weekend, you know, that we dust off the grill and we barbecue and we party and we do this and that. But that was not the meaning of the holiday as it was originated. And the holiday, which is observed every year on the last Monday of May, originated as Decoration Day after the Civil War in 1868. And they gathered both on the Union side and on the Confederate side to honor those who had died while in military service. And of course, over the years, it's expanded to include those of our loved ones who have passed on, and we remember them and we think about them. But I was thinking about the word memorial. So I looked it up in the Bible to see how many times that it's in the Bible. Now, of course, depending upon the translation you're using, it can maybe vary in how the word is translated a little bit. But going by the King James, which is still the most popular translation, the word memorial comes up 32 times in 31 sections of the King James Version. Now, in some other translations, the root word that's translated memorial may be translated some other words such as remember, remembrance, memory, or something very similar to that. For example, when Moses was standing on holy ground out there in the desert, the burning bush, remember that? He sees the bush burning, he comes up, God speaks to him out of the midst of the burning bush and says, take off your shoes for you're on holy ground. God begins to speak to Moses and tells him the plans that he has for Moses, how Moses is to go back to Egypt, which, by the way, where Moses was maybe still on the most wanted list. And he's saying, you go back and you bring my people out. And I don't know that Moses was too overly thrilled here, because he made excuses as to why it should be someone else. And that's somewhat like what we do today. God speaks to our heart to do something sometimes, and we begin to explain to God why there are better choices out there. Like maybe we know more than God does. God, you know, really, so-and-so would do a whole lot better at this than I would. But God has a reason why he asks us to do it. So God has prepared Moses all this time to be prepared to do this job, and Moses is making some excuses. And finally he's saying, okay, in chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 13, and he said, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? They're asking, what is the name that I'm supposed to say that sent me? What is the name of the God of our fathers that sent me? Well, down in verse 14, it says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am hath sent me. And then in verse 15 it says, verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you, and this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am hath sent me. That's a pretty profound name there. I am hath sent me. In fact, And one of the more recent translations, verse 15, reads this way. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation. I want the people to remember who I am. Think about it. Remember who I am. Because I'm going to do some great things for my people, is what he's telling him here. And I want them to remember me. Then we go on and we find out a short time later, at least a short time in the overall scheme of things, as they're preparing to leave Egypt, and they've celebrated the first Passover and it's instituted. And God tells Moses this in chapter 12, verse 14 of Exodus, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. You are to keep this day as a remembrance, remembering what I have done for you. And you know, it seems like a lot of times we tend to forget some of the things that God has done for us, don't we? God may do something really fantastic for us, and we're thankful right then, and then down the road we kind of, you know, oh well. But he's telling the people here, look, you're going to put the blood on the doorpost, you're going to celebrate this meal that I've told you to prepare, and you're going to do it throughout all generations, remembering what I'm going to do for you this night, how I'm going to deliver you from the hand of the Egyptians. And you know, it was a fantastic thing that God did for them that night, because think about it. Bible tells us that an angel went throughout Egypt, and the firstborn of every household, of every creature, was slain. Just think about it. In some households, that could have been the entire household. Because maybe the father and maybe the mother were the firstborn in their families. Maybe they only had one child, and that was their firstborn. An entire household could have been eliminated that night. But yet when the angel came to the doorpost of the house of those that had that blood upon the doorpost, he went right on by, and they were spared. God delivered them out of bondage, tucked them on the way to the promised land. God did a great thing. I tell you, I'd have been jumping for joy the next morning when I got up and my family was still intact when such a thing had happened in the land. But a lot of times as God blesses us, oh yeah, well praise God, thank you God. And that's about it. You know, we get more emotional at football games and basketball games and hockey games. I got to throw hockey in there. And soccer games, because soccer's coming to Nashville too, and all of this stuff. We get more excited about it than we do about what God has done for us. Think about it. Some of you are sitting here today simply because of what God has done in your life. Some of you are still alive, including me, today because of what God did in your life. Then later on, as they're out in the wilderness and they're thirsty, and if you read the story in Exodus chapter 17 where they're out in the wilderness and they're thirsty and says they're about ready to stone Moses and all this stuff is going on, and God tells Moses to strike the rock and water comes out, and then as you go on later in the chapter here, they're battling the Amalekites, and the battle is won. And as we read in verses 13 and 14, it says, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Write it down. Don't forget about it. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. I'll put them out of remembrance. That same chapter, verse 14 in the Holloman Christian Standard Bible reads, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, write this down on a scroll as a reminder and recite it to Joshua. I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek under the heaven. I'll get rid of them." And then, of course, there comes the time that the children of Israel are on their way to the promised land, and they're getting there. In fact, they're getting ready to cross over into the promised land in Joshua chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7. It says, "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Make a marker here. And you know, today we still do things like that. We put stones or memorials in places to remember what event took place there. You go to any cemetery, you've got stones that are there telling you who is buried there, in memorial, in memory of those folks that are buried there. Here in Tennessee, in this area, because part of the Civil War battles were fought here, we have a lot of memorials and places that are memories, that have markers that tells the events that took place, so we will remember what happened. In fact, if you drive down any one of the major highways through here, you will see along the highway somewhere between here and Nashville, or going south even, you will see a sign that says, this event took place at this particular time. It's a memorial as to what happened there. Or you can go to some of the houses and they have plaques of events that took place and things that transpired there at a certain point in history, because it's a memorial of what took place there. We are to remember. Just as we remember the events in history that took place, we also are to remember what God has done for us in our lives. But too often, we tend to forget. Think about it. Jews had crossed over into the promised land. Time passes. They kind of forgot some things they were supposed to remember, and they end up in bondage. They end up in Babylon. Captives again. And the Bible tells us the time came when an evil man by the name of Haman plotted to have them all killed. He wasn't the first. He wasn't the last. And there's still others that would like to do it today. Kill them all. And he hatched a plot. People are out there hatching plots all the time. Some of them are real, some of them are not. But there's people out there that, if it benefits their agenda, they will do whatever they think they need to do to forward their agenda. And here's Haman. He wants to forward his agenda. I'm going to get rid of the Jews. Well, if you remember the stories in the book, the story in the book of Esther, the plot failed. And in Esther chapter 9, verse 25, it says, "And when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he had devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head." This is speaking of Haman. "And that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows." Then we drop down to verse 27. "The Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writings and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Now think about that. It was thousands of years ago. And to this day, they still celebrate and remember these 2 days. In fact, a couple of years ago, we had a Purim celebration here at the church, and we kind of reenacted a little bit of it. And if I remember correctly, Reese was the king, and Anthony, I think, was Haman. And we have some pictures of it. I think there's a couple of pictures of it still on our website. And we reenacted that. And the funny thing I remember is we had a couple of visitors that day, just as we have a couple of visitors today. And they came in, and I said, "Now, service is going to be a little bit different today, you know, because we're celebrating Purim." I think by the time the service was over, those two little old ladies were so scared that they left the building and never came back. "At least you ladies keep coming back." "And we're glad to have you today." But they still celebrate it today. And how many things that God has done do we celebrate? Do we keep in memory, though? Think about that. Matthew chapter 26 and Mark 14. And the story is also told in the other Gospels as well, but specifically here's where we're reading from today in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he set it meat." And if you remember the story, people got upset. "Well, we could have taken this ointment here and we could have sold this for a lot of money and we could have given it to the poor. And the guy that's throwing the biggest fit about it was a crook. You know? He's the one that just a short time later went out and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We could have sold this for the..." He was probably thinking, "I could pocket part of that money for myself." And we see that happening to things today. People start out doing something for the poor, so to speak, or for the good of people, or whatever. And you find out the majority of the money goes in somebody's pocket, and very little goes to helping that cause to which it was to, which you contributed to, you know. And they're complained about this. And Jesus tells them that this is going to be a memorial of what she has done. God remembers what we do. Think about that. God remembers what we do. People around us may not remember what we do, but God remembers. God remembers what you do for Him. He remembers the little things you do for Him that people tend to forget. But He remembers what's being done. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, it says here, "And there was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band." I want to stop there for a minute, because if you go back, you find in the Gospels, this was a centurion who came and his servant was sick, remember? And he told Jesus, he said, "Just say the word, you can heal him. You don't have to go to my house. Just say the word." How much faith had he? You know what? It was not just the Jews that were being reached there. Some of those who were of the Romans, who were the occupying force, were listening and they were hearing and they were believing. And here's this guy by the name of Cornelius, a centurion, it says, of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? Now think about it. If an angel showed up in your house as you were praying and an angel showed up in front of you, what would you do? You ever stop to think about that? It probably, quite honestly, probably kind of scare you a little bit, you know? Think about it. Most folks, it would scare a little bit. you know. And he's, what is it? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And then in verse 31, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Now the root word of alms here, because we think of alms and we think of money, you know, that they gave money. But the root word of alms can mean various things here, such as charity, deeds, and compassion. You see, some of these Roman centurions, even though they were quote unquote the occupying force, the enemy, they had compassion upon the Jewish people. Some of them contributed to projects to benefit the Jewish people. They weren't all bad guys. And some of them later on, as we see, became followers of Jesus. But he's saying, what you have done has come up in remembrance before God, in memorial before God. And his prayer was answered. God remembers what we've done. Now, I know a lot of people think, yeah, God remembers all the bad things we've done, you know. Yeah, but there's a way to take care of that, you know. Get them washed away by the blood of Jesus. But God also remembers the good things. You know, we're kind of as people kind of like that today, and that's probably why we think about it that way. It's because when it comes to people, if they do something bad, we'll remember it forever. Not so-and-so, they did whatever, you know. But they do something good, and how quickly we forget. Huh, I don't remember them doing that. You know, but God remembers. He remembers the things that we do for him. He remembered, and you say, how can we do things? There are things that God sets for us to do. God doesn't reach down and take care of every little thing himself. He wants us to do some of this stuff. He wants us to work for him. He wants us to be his children, take care of some of the things. So he remembers what we do. They come up before him as a memorial of what we have done. Revelations chapter 22, verse 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. That memorial. There's going to be a reward someday for that work that we've done. But you know what? We shouldn't be doing it just because we're going to get a reward for it down the road either. We should be doing it because we love God. Because we love him. He's our heavenly Father. We're his child. That's why we should be doing it. And some people, and sometimes I wonder if people do it just for the reward they think they're going to get. How much of a reward maybe they really do get. I don't know. That's not my decision, so I'm glad it's not. But God rewards us. And you know what? We're to do for God just like we would do. And maybe this is not a good thing anymore to say it this way. I started to say, just like we would do it for our own family, but sometimes the things we do to our own family isn't too good. But we are to love God with all of our hearts, all of our being. And what we do for him, it says, will come up for a memorial before him. He will remember what we have done. He says he's coming again. And his reward, and the reward is going to come with him. Every man according to his work shall it be. Well, just as on Memorial Day, we remember the sacrifice that some have made for our country, we also need to remember the sacrifice that God made for us. We don't think very often about God making any sacrifices per se, you know. Some of us, we make sacrifices to see that certain things are taken care of. Our men and women who've gone to battle and gone into war to fight for our country, they made a sacrifice. No matter what part of it they were in, they were making a sacrifice. They were taken away from their families. They were put in places they didn't want to be in, situations they didn't want to be in, had to do things they didn't really necessarily want to do, but they had to do it to defend our country and their families. We don't think about God making sacrifices, though, so much. But we really need to remember the fact that when God sent his Son, as it tells us in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son," God was making a sacrifice. He was sending his Son to be the sacrifice that we could have forgiveness of our sin. Just as we have freedom in America today, we have freedom because of those who have gone out and fought for our freedom. They made that sacrifice. God made a sacrifice by sending his Son to be the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate forgiveness of our sin, that we could turn our lives over to him. We could ask him into our heart, and we could say, "Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sin. I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to follow after you." And he would have forgiveness. God made a sacrifice for us. And yet today, unfortunately, the church world seems to have a hard time making a sacrifice to God. I want you to think about that a minute. Especially the church world here in America. It's too hot to go to church. I don't want to get out in the heat. It's too cold to go to church. I don't want to get out in the cold. It's too wet. It's too dry. And we can come up with excuse after excuse why we don't go to church. I saw a picture the other day of a church service, and if I recall correctly, it was in the Philippines. They'd had some flooding. The water in the church building, and their church buildings, most of them have dirt floors. The vast majority of them have dirt floors, and outside of the city, of the large cities, probably came up about this high on the people's legs. And yet, the pews were full. Think about it. Would we go to church if the water was like that? Sad to say, most people wouldn't. And I'm hoping we don't ever have to. So this Memorial Day here in America, as we remember those who've made sacrifices that we can have the freedoms that we have today, we need to not only be thankful for that, but we need to be thankful for the sacrifice that God sent to be the sacrifice for our sin, for what God has done for us. Remember what God has done for you. And Father, today, as we close this message, Father, I just pray that if there are those that are listening to this message outside this building this morning that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, would draw them into you, Father, that they would turn their heart and life over to Jesus Christ, and that this day would become a memorial unto them as the day that they accepted Jesus Christ into their heart, a day that they will never forget. And Father, I pray that you would speak to those hearts wherever they may be, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.